We're actually picking up in Luke chapter 7, but we're going to start here in Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And we just sang a song right there, Great is Thy Faithfulness, talking about His compassions, they fail not. They're renewed every morning. And we're going to talk today about compassion. God is a God of compassion, of mercy, and we should be compassionate people. But compassion is something that the world today is good at suppressing, at inhibiting. If we allow ourselves to watch TV, anytime, day or night, and we watch as we can turn on and flip on a channel and watch somebody being, murdered. We can watch somebody being tortured. We can watch wicked things happen to people. And that, if we watch that stuff and we watch it, it can dull our senses to that, and we can lose our compassion for people because we see this, and when we watch it, it's entertainment, right? If we allow ourselves to watch that, we can become dulled. We can become less compassionate. We can play video games, and I did, where you shoot 'em up video games, and you're killing people left and right. When you do that, that's going to take away your compassion for human life. The people that are created in the image of God, and these are things that I did, and without Christ, Ashley would probably say this, I have no compassion. My compassion is pretty dull. And I'd say our world can tend to make us that way, less compassionate. We think about the Roman Colosseum where they'd have Christians being, fed to lions, and people would watch and cheer, and it was entertainment to them. You have to have no compassion to be able to look at that as entertainment. And so we have to be careful the things that we take in, because the stuff we take in, that stuff affects us. And we know that since God is compassionate, our adversary, the devil, wants us to lose that compassion. Let's look at the word compassion. It's compassion. Now, when we have the letter C-O-M as a prefix, com, communism. That's where everybody works together. Everybody's, all for each other. It's all the same, right? Common. Everything's the same. It's together. Committee. You meet together. You meet with other people in a committee. Combine. You take things and you put them together. So the word com means with or together, that prefix. So com means with or together. What about passion? Has anybody ever heard of or seen the Great Passion play in Eureka Springs, Arkansas? You ever heard of that? Miss Deborah, what is that about, That's right. It's the story of his last week of his passion. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And that passion means his suffering. So the passion play, if you watch it, it's about his suffering, about that week going up, and a lot of it is Christ's suffering. I never really understood why they would call it the passion play. But passion means suffering. So if passion means suffering and calm means with and together, compassion means we suffer with. We suffer together with somebody else. We don't just see somebody in pain and in agony and we just can walk right on like nothing happened. We suffer with them because we have compassion with them. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. We'll begin in verse 30 and we'll see a man that had compassion. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. If you're able, could you please stand with me? Luke chapter 10, verse 30, and we'll read down through 35. And look for the man that had compassion. Verse 30 says, And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Here we see an example of a man that showed compassion. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we can understand you and your compassion, your mercy towards us. We can see Jesus in his earthly ministry, his compassion, his mercy towards the people that he ministered to. And Lord, find out that we can be people of compassion, people of mercy, in order to please you, in order to show your love towards others. Help us to have the compassion that you have and not to be hardened by the world around us, not to be hardened by all that we're subjected to, Lord. So I pray that we can be people of compassion. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. So this man that was on a trip, he was robbed, he was stripped, he was wounded, he was left, the Bible says, for half dead. He was half dead, laying there. And this man that showed compassion, he came and picked him up. He came and poured oil and wine, expensive things, on his wounds to try to cleanse them. He put him on his beast. He took him to an inn, and he provided for even those things that he would need in the future. That man had compassion. He suffered with him. He didn't just pass by on the other side of the road as that man was suffering. And so compassion tells us that we should suffer with, we should care for, we should love, we should have empathy for those that are in need. Jesus, who is God manifest in the flesh, you could say that the whole reason he came to earth was because he was moved with compassion for mankind. He was moved with compassion for us because we were dead in our sins, in our trespasses. We have no hope in this world without Jesus Christ, but God in his compassion towards us sent his Son to earth to live, to teach us, but then to allow himself to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sins, not for ours only, but the sins for the whole world, and then to rise again. And with compassion, he rose again, conquering death, and now he's in heaven where he is preparing a place for us that we may be also. But it's his compassion, his mercy on mankind, because we deserve none of it. By our actions, by our rebellion against him, by our thumbing our nose at him, we deserve none. But God is a God of compassion. God is a God of mercy. So we ought also be people of compassion, people of mercy. But let's first look at Christ's compassion for the people around him when he was on earth. So let's begin in Matthew chapter 9. So go back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. I want to look at examples of Christ when the Bible said he had compassion on those around him. And let's see the people that he had compassion on. Matthew chapter 9. Because if Christ had compassion on these people, we ought also to have compassion on those same people. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. The Bible says, but when he, Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He saw these people and he had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. Sheep without a shepherd are lost. They just mill here and there. And if you look at our world today, we could go to Henderson, we could go to York, we could go to Lincoln, we could watch anything. Our world is lost. We're like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus, when he sees that, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on the lost. We also should have compassion on the lost. And our world is definitely lost, and we all were lost before we came to Jesus Christ. But Jesus had compassion on the lost. Let's go to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, a few pages to your right in your Bibles. Matthew 14. Jesus had compassion on the lost. Now let's go to verse 13 of chapter 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. The people were following out of the cities out to a desert place to be by Jesus. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. But these people were going out, not, it doesn't seem like, to hear the word of God. They were going out to have their sick be healed. But Jesus saw the sick and he was moved with compassion on them and he healed their sick. So Jesus had compassion on the lost. Jesus had compassion on the sick. Let's go to Matthew 15, verse 32. Matthew 15, verse 32. Jesus was moved with compassion a lot when he lived on this earth. Matthew 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. He had compassion on the hungry. A compassion on the lost, on the sick, on the hungry. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. verse 32. Matthew chapter 20, verse 32. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." They were blind. He said, "Lord, that you may open our eyes." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Jesus had compassion on the blind. Jesus had compassion on these people. Mark chapter 1. The next book in the Bible, Matthew, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Verse 40 of chapter 1. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He was unclean. He was a leper. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." Jesus had compassion on the unclean. Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1, we see a description of this man from the Gadarenes, and he was possessed with a demon. Let's read this. And they came over in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. He's like an animal. He was possessed with this devil, and men couldn't tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Man was deranged. He was, today we'd lock him up. Wouldn't have anything to do with him. Say that he's beyond hope. Man was crazy. We know the Bible says he was possessed with the devil. But look on in verse 8. "For he said unto them, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." So Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Look at verse 18. "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." So there again we see our Lord Jesus Christ having compassion on a man that was demon-possessed, that was filled with the devil, a man that was deranged, a man that was crazy, a man that no man could tame. Jesus had compassion on the deranged. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. The next book, Luke chapter 7. And these actually are the verses that we're to in Luke chapter 7. So, Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Remember last week we talked in verses 1 through 10 when Jesus healed the centurion's servant. And it says in verse 11, "It came to pass the day after," so we're just the next day, "that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people," a huge throng of people going with Jesus. "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her." So he comes into the city with a bunch of people following Jesus, and they come upon a funeral procession, right? They come upon a young man, we're going to read in just a little bit, the only son of this woman who was a widow. This lady had lost her husband, and now she had lost her only son. And there was many people in the city at these funerals, and we've all probably been to funerals like that, where it's especially excruciating. It's especially something we just can't fathom. We want to be there. We want to support. And it's a huge funeral. And that's what this looks like. It was this widow woman had just lost her only son, this young man. And here comes Jesus with a bunch of people coming up to the gate of the city. And there he sees this young man carried out on a stretcher. And when the Lord saw her, it says in verse 13, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, "Weep not." I mean, Jesus could have said, you know, this world isn't all there is. Just get over it. You know, he's at a better place and gone on. But he had compassion on her. And he told her to weep not. Now, that would have been kind of cruel if he didn't know what he was going to do next. But he told her, don't weep. Because Jesus will weep. Jesus wept. When a loved one dies, there is weeping for what we have lost. We won't see them again until we see them in heaven. But there is weeping. There is a time to weep. There's a time to cry. But Jesus said, weep not, because he knew what he was going to do. But he had compassion on this lady. He saw this widow. He knew her whole situation. He had compassion on her, and he came and he touched the bier. He touched that stretcher. And they that bare him stood still. So Jesus touched it. The coffin, the pallbearers, or whoever they would bear, they stopped. Jesus touched it. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Jesus had compassion, and he went and followed that compassion with an act of mercy, an act of love. He that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us. And he was a great prophet. He's a great prophet, a great priest, a great king. He is God manifest in the flesh. But he said that this great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And that is true. God visited his people. When Jesus Christ came down, that was God in the flesh. God sent his only begotten Son to earth to dwell among us. And we can behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We see that with Jesus Christ. Jesus came down to his own people. It was God manifest in the flesh. It was, as it says here, God visiting his people. And we can see God. We can see what he would do in the situation. And Jesus, what he did when he saw it, he had compassion. He had compassion. And he went and helped her. He helped the woman. He had compassion on the grieving. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea. Everybody's going around saying, "You know what happened? Jesus raised a young man from the dead." And throughout all the region round about, and the disciples of John showed him all of these things. And next week we'll get into John the Baptist hearing about Jesus and hearing that John heard these things. But we see that Jesus had compassion on this woman, on this widow woman that lost her only son, that had already lost a husband. We just look at these seven things today that we saw Jesus have compassion on the lost, on the sick, on the hungry, on the blind, on the unclean, on the deranged, and on the grieving. He cared about them. Jesus is our Lord. We should do as he does. But Jesus had compassion. Flip over real quick to Luke chapter 10, where we began. Luke chapter 10. And that story of the Good Samaritan, where he didn't pass by on the other side, but he saw him and he had compassion on him. Luke chapter 10, verse 33. We read that this Samaritan came where he was in verse 33 and looked on him, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now Jesus told this parable because this lawyer wanted to know, who is my neighbor? Who do I have to, you know, be good to? Who do I have to love? And so Jesus goes down and says in verse 36, "Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" Who was a neighbor to him? The priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan that showed compassion? And the lawyer says in verse 37, he said, "He that showed mercy on him." I mean, everybody would give that answer. We know who was the neighbor. It was a Samaritan who showed mercy. But we also see here in the Bible two things compared. Verse 33, it said he had compassion on him. In verse 37, it says he had mercy on him. Compassion and mercy go hand in hand. God has compassion. God has mercy on us. We should have compassion. We should have mercy towards others. The Bible says about God's mercy, which goes hand in hand with God's compassion, that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Our God is a God of compassion. Our God is a God of mercy. Jesus came to earth and he showed us. We beheld his glory and he was a God. He was a man of compassion, a man of great mercy. Like we sang this morning, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning, God's compassion towards us is renewed. Every morning, God's mercy toward us is renewed. And it's only because of his mercy, only because of his compassion, that we are not consumed. He is faithful, our God that we serve. We can see who God is, and we saw it in Jesus Christ. We can read it in the Old Testament. We can read it in the New Testament. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." Our Father in heaven is called the Father of mercies. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." God is merciful towards us. He has the right, he has the reason to punish us for our sins. But he is merciful towards us. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, But according to His mercy, He saved us. We are not saved by doing works of righteousness. We're not saved by going out and trying to keep a bunch of laws. We're not saved by trying to fulfill all these things so God will accept it. We are only saved by God's mercies. And those mercies are renewed every morning. But it's only God's mercy that we are saved. God said, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God, the God that we serve, the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, is a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. We saw that in Jesus Christ. We see that described in the Bible about God the Father. He's a God of compassion, a God of mercy, and praise the Lord. Because none of us, the Bible says, can earn our way. None of us were good enough. None of us are good enough to make it on our works. It's not by works of righteousness. It's only by His mercy. God was moved with compassion towards mankind. Just as we saw Jesus constantly being moved with compassion, God was moved with compassion so that He sent His only begotten Son. So that whosoever believeth on Jesus Christ would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came, He paid the penalty for our sin. God took out His wrath upon sin. He took it out upon His own Son, who did no sin, who in Him was no sin. So that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It's only because He looks at us lost sheep. And that He cares for us, has compassion on us, that He sent His only Son. That we have a chance at salvation. That we have salvation offered to us. Think of this, who Jesus had. Jesus had compassion on the lost. We know that we all were lost. And some of us maybe still are lost. If we have not, repented and put our faith in Jesus Christ, we still are lost. Jesus has compassion on the lost, and praise the Lord. Jesus had compassion on the hungry, and we all are searching for that bread, the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus had compassion on the sick, and we all have a sickness. Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I didn't call to come the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We all are sick of a disease called sin, and we need the great physician. He has mercy on the sick. He had mercy on the blind. All of us are blinded by the God of this world. But Jesus Christ, the true light which cometh into this world, gives us that light and gives us sight where we can see Him, gives us sight where we can see the truth in His Word. The Bible said Jesus was compassionate towards the unclean. We're all, our righteousness are like filthy rags. We're all as an unclean thing. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ had compassion. God had compassion on us, unclean people. So Jesus, God our Father, has compassion. Let's turn to Luke 15. Luke 15. We're going to look at a parable here. Actually, let's start with verse 1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. So there was publicans, there was these people that were in cahoots with the Roman government. The Jews didn't like them. They were cheats usually. And there were sinners around Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 90 and 90 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he findeth it? So we all, if we had one animal that was lost, we'd go find it. We'd leave those. And Jesus said, in verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So Jesus is talking about why He is with these sinners, why He's with them publicans. He wants to see them saved. He wants to see them found. They were lost and now they're found. And there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Then He goes on in verses 8 through 10 and talks about the woman that lost a silver coin. And when she finds it, she rejoices over it, brings over people. He says, likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So He's talking about salvation. He's talking about when people come to Christ, there's joy in heaven. Then He tells this parable. He said in verse 11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So he wanted to just eat the husks that the pigs were eating, but no man even gave him that. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee, against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and did what? He had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. And we know that Jesus had compassion on those who were dead. Jesus had compassion on those that were lost. Just like this man, he said he had compassion on his son who was coming back here. And much like this man, all of us were given so much from God when we were born. We were given, you know, families. We were given this great world to live in. We were given, we have jobs, we have food, we have rain that comes, we have all these mercies that he gives us. And many of us, and myself, all of us, before we came to Christ, we wasted all that God gave us on riotous living, on ourselves. But when we came to Christ, he could have, when we come to him and repent, because said, God save us, he could have said, no, you get what you deserve. But he showed mercy, just like this father had compassion. God has compassion. And though we rebelled against God, though we wasted many years, I wasted my college years, I wasted all those years living in rebellion against God, serving my own flesh. When I came to Christ, he could have said, no, you get what you deserve. You rejected me, I reject you. But just like this man, in his parable, he comes and says, you come, and there's joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. God loves you. God has compassion towards you. No matter where you are in your life, no matter if you're a young person, no matter if you're an old person, there will be joy in heaven when you come to Jesus Christ. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when you ask him to save you, him that come to you, he will in no wise cast you out. You come to him, he will not cast you out. And God is a God of compassion. He's a God of mercy. I know some people think there's no way God could forgive me, but that's who God is. God's a God of compassion, a God of mercy. We're to repent. We're to believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That he's the only way to heaven. That he was God's son. That he was God in the flesh. He came to live a perfect, sinless life. He allowed himself to be put to death on the cross because he knew he was dying and shedding his blood as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And he was dead and buried, and 3 days later he rose again, proving that he was God, proving that his sacrifice was sufficient, proving that his blood was shed for us and that he has conquered death. And now through him we can have life, but it's only through him. When we understand that we're sinners and we believe the gospel, we believe the good news, we're saved and there's joy and God will receive us because he's a God of compassion. But there is a time when his compassion, when his mercy will end. God had so much compassion, so much mercy on the Jews in the Old Testament. He delivered them out of Egypt and they would want to go back to Egypt. He delivered them out of all this stuff and they would keep on rebelling and serving idols. And just over and over and over, they turned from his love, from all he'd done for them, they turned and would go to the stuff of the countries around him, and they would reject God. But the Bible says the Lord was gracious unto them. He had compassion on them and had respect unto them because of his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and Jacob. And he would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence. And then the last two words of that verse say, as yet. God had compassion. He had mercy on the Jews, and he kept them as a nation until one time that it was just enough. And he allowed, you know, Nebuchadnezzar to come in and destroy. And that there was no nation of Israel for a time. There's a time when God's mercy, when his compassion will end. For us, that time is when we die. We cannot bank on that, well, God's a God of compassion and mercy, so when I'm dead, when I'm up in heaven standing before God, before his throne, he'll have compassion and mercy on me. Because that's not what the Bible says. God is a God of compassion and mercy towards us, but there's a time when that ends. Let's look at Luke 16. We should be about there. Luke 16, verse 19. Looking at that, there's a time when we can no longer get any more compassion or mercy. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There's a time when there's a great gulf that's fixed. We don't know when that time is. But there's a time when we die that great gulf is fixed and we cannot go from one to the other. God has showed so much compassion and mercy. He's showed compassion and mercy on us today, bringing you here to hear His story of His compassion and mercy, to hear the gospel, giving you the opportunity to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But there's a time when that ends. There's a time when there's a great gulf fixed where you cannot pass from one side to the other. Those that are in hell forever, in torment forever. Those that are in heaven forever. They cannot pass from one to the other. If we reject the counsel of God against ourselves, if we listen to the Word of God, if we hear what He has to say, and we come today and make no decision, that's rejecting it. If we reject the counsel of God, we can't look at Him and say, you're a God of compassion and mercy. He's shown us compassion and mercy right now. He's given us this opportunity to believe on His name. Now is the time to obtain mercy. Now, if we are believers, if we have obtained His mercy, if we know that we are now His sons, adopted into His family, we're given His Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, and His Spirit, you know, it bears witness to our spirit that we're His children. If we're His children by faith, then we've obtained mercy. What are we to do then? Let's go back to Luke chapter 10, to that story of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 36. But it says, which of now of these three thinkest thou? Luke chapter 10, verse 36. He's speaking to the lawyer that asked the question, who was my neighbor? He says, which now of these three? The priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan. Which of these three was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he, the lawyer, said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Do what likewise? Pass by on the other side? No. Show compassion. Have mercy. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Have compassion. Show mercy towards our fellow human beings. The Samaritan was not a Jew. The Jew was not a Samaritan. The Samaritan helped somebody. He wasn't like himself. It didn't matter. He showed compassion and had mercy. It cost him personally. It cost him his wine and his oil. It cost him his beast that he sat upon. It cost him a night and an inn. He put him up. It cost him money. Then he had to pay for him later. It cost him royally. But that's compassion. It's suffering with others. We're to have mercy on others. The Bible says in Luke 6:36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Our Father is merciful towards us. We can extend that mercy to others. We know, and we've talked about a lot about the parable of the wicked servant that was forgiven, 10,000 talents. And then he went and would not forgive this man any. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. I want to read one verse from there. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. You know, this servant, he owed his Lord so much he could not pay. There was no way he could pay. He deserved to be put in prison and his wife and children sold to pay the debt. But we see in verse 26 of Matthew 18, verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. The Lord, which is our Lord, is moved with compassion. He's forgiven us all our sins. All that we sinned against God, God forgave us all because He has compassion on us. But then this fellow servant owed this guy a little bit of money. And in verse 29, his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, said, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. But he would not, it says in verse 30, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. He had no compassion on this next guy. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him in verse 32, middle of verse 32, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? The Lord showed compassion to his servant. The servant wouldn't show compassion towards his other servant. If we're the servants, which we are, if God has showed us all that compassion, all that mercy, how can we withhold compassion? How can we walk by on the other side of the road? How can we just act like it doesn't matter and show no compassion, no mercy towards others? We must. The Bible says, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need. If we have the ability to help, we see somebody in need, and we shut up our bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If we have the ability to help, but we walk by the other side, we do not help, we don't suffer with, we don't have compassion with, we don't have mercy on those that are less fortunate at that time, how dwells the love of God in you? The question is, does it? We're to be like the Samaritan. We're to be like Jesus. Jesus had compassion on the lost, on the sick, on the hungry, on the blind, on the unclean, on the crazy, on the grieving. All those cases, we can think of times we come in contact with people like that. We should be as our Lord. Be merciful as our Lord, our Father in heaven, is merciful. We see the example that Jesus gave. We also should go and do likewise. And we really must have mercy on others. The Bible said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's end in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and this isn't a parable. We've been reading a lot of parables, a lot of stories that Jesus told to make a point. But this isn't a parable, this is a prophecy. This is saying what's going to happen. This is his Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man, which is Jesus, when Jesus, the Son of Man, shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, all people. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So there's going to come a time when Jesus is going to come. He's going to sit on his throne. And all of humanity is going to come and stand before Jesus. And they're going to be separated one from another, just like a shepherd would divide his sheep from his goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right on his right hand, but the goats on the left. They're going to be divided into two groups, the sheep and the goats. The sheep on his right, the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, who's the king? It's Jesus. Then shall Jesus say to those that are on his right, he'll say, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear him say, come to us. If we hear our king, our Savior, our Lord saying, come, those are the words we want to hear. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Isn't that basically the same kind of list that Jesus had compassion on? The lost, the sick, the hungry, the poor, the deranged, the grieving. Here he said, when you've done it to one of those least of those, you've done it unto me. Jesus had compassion on these people. We know where to do it because he did it. We know where to be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful. Now we know that when we have compassion, when we have mercy on those, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the blind, the grieving. When we have mercy, when we have compassion, we're doing it unto Jesus. Come to verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. To one hand he said, come. To the other he said, depart. Those are the words we do not want to hear. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison and ye visited me not. Sounds just like those people that walked by on the side of the road and went right by that man that was hurt, that was naked, that was left half dead. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord. They call him Lord. But they said, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? For surely if they knew it was Jesus, they would have done it. That's why they're like, when did we see this? Then shall he answer to them. Answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now those are sobering words. Now the difference between these groups, what he's saying right here, is one group had compassion on other people. One group had no compassion. If they knew it was Jesus, they would have done it. But if it was one of the least of these, they didn't care. They walked by on the other side like the Levite, like the priest. We want to be like Christ. We want to follow his example. We know that we serve a God that's compassionate, that's merciful, that has compassion on the least of these. We want to be like him. We're commanded to be like him. Be ye merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. And we're told right here, very strong warning against not having compassion, not caring about our fellow people. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We know it's only by his mercy that we're saved. And now we, as believers, are commanded to go and do likewise. Let's be merciful, compassionate people. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to have compassion. I pray for myself personally. I pray for all of us that we can put ourselves second, put others first, that we can suffer together with other people. And Lord, we can glorify you through that. We can bring people to Christ through that, that there can be joy among the angels in heaven because people come to salvation, because people repent. And that is because we have shown them love, shown them compassion, shown them mercy. Lord, help us with our brothers and sisters in Christ to not see somebody in need and just go the other way. But I pray that we would do these things. We'd read your word. We'd study it. We would rightly divide your word. And we would apply it to our lives and not be as people that look in the mirror and just go the other way and forget what we looked at, but that we would see what you say in our word, in your word, and we would do it, Lord. Pray that you help each one of us through the power of your spirit to do this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.